T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us on the line, does an amazing job covering the Philadelphia 76ers. Yes. Great beat writer, one Derek Bodner joins us. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning.
Well, Derek, last night, you know, it was an ugly win, but nonetheless, it was a win. Before we get into some particulars about some of the performances, how should Sixers fans feel about last night's victory over Cleveland?
I mean, it's one of 82 games. That is mostly how I would look at it. You know, they're going to have games where they play awful, where they can't shoot. And to come out with a win, I mean, look, it was a bad Cavs team. That team is a team that plays hard, you know, but they're 4-6 on the season, and I would say that is an overachieving record. So it's not a good win by any stretch of the imagination, but they came out, they couldn't make a shot from the perimeter, but they got just enough from Embiid and from their defense to win. To me, it's the kind of game that I would look away from pretty quickly, but it's one of the ones where I think good teams tend to, you know, if you're going to win 55 games, you're going to have a couple of games like this, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think the bigger concerns long-term are, you know, this team just struggles to score points, and you saw that last night, and you've seen that really in the first 10 games of the season.
Mm. Before we get into some of the question marks moving forward, there is a positive to come out of last night, other than the victory itself. In the closing seconds, Brett Brown had to design a play to put the Sixers up. They had led with 3:12 remaining in the first all the way up into the fourth quarter before they allowed Cleveland to retake that lead, and then they trailed for majority of that final 12 minutes. But Brett Brown designed an excellent play in those closing seconds. For all the criticism Brown does get, some justifiable, that was a great play call.
Yeah, and they've had a couple of these. They had the Furkan Korkmaz game winner in Portland. Even in Denver, they had a good play design. They just got called for a ticky-tack foul on Joel Embiid, an offensive foul. They are, you know, right now the Sixers have about the 20th ranked offense in the league. But when you look at just their after timeout plays, they rank, I think, 8th in the league. So generally, when they get a chance to draw up a play, they do better than they typically do offensively. And I think that's a trend that you've seen throughout the years with the Sixers. You know, for all the criticism that Brett Brown gets, you could probably say he should draw up more plays because they tend to be pretty successful
right. When
they do.
Right. Derek Bodner, nice enough to join us this morning. Now to Tobias Harris. 0-for-11 from beyond the arc. I believe that is a franchise record in a single game for the 76ers. What's going on with Tobias?
Yeah, he can't shoot right now, and that's a pretty big deal, especially for a guy who was a pretty good shooter when he got here. You know, he had been a 40% three-point shooter for the previous couple of years. He shot 32% last year with the Sixers, and now he's shooting 22% in the early parts of the season. He's actually, I think, playing a pretty decent game outside of his three-point shooting so far this season. You know, he's getting the free throw line a little more. He's converting inside the arc. I think his defense is a little bit better, but he just cannot buy a shot. And that was really evident last night when he was 0-for-11, like you said, franchise record. He makes two or three of those games, and we're not talking about eking out a close win. We're talking about a pretty easy win over an overmatched Cavaliers team, which, quite frankly, is what we should be talking about. It's a great question. You know, he was a little under the weather last night, Brown said after the game. He certainly wasn't gun-shy in his attempts. He needed to make more shots, and that's true from last year, that's true from the playoff run, and that's true from the early part of the season. I think he'll get back because I think he's a good shooter, but it's been an extended slump so far.
Now, I'm realizing this team is void of shooters from beyond the arc, and last night Furkan Korkmaz had a pair of three-pointers, but unfortunately, those two threes he hit last night matched the amount that Tobias Harris has hit total in his last six games. And prior to the game, Brett Brown had said that he would like Tobias Harris to be his 6'9" J.J. Redick. Is that possible?
No, I mean, look, J.J. Redick was one of he is one of the best shooters to ever play this game, especially coming off of screens on the move. You know, just becoming J.J. Redick is not realistic. Shooting is inherently streaky. We saw that a lot with Robert Covington. Where Tobias has an edge is that he can do things outside of staying on the perimeter and shoot. But he is, I mean, he is struggling. He needs to, I do think it is a little bit, you know, for as much as we'll talk about 11 attempts last night, I think there are times throughout the course of the season where he passes up open looks. Mm-hmm. And look, he's shooting 22%, so I would get why he would hesitate. But they need him shooting confidently. They need him shooting 40% from three. Because like you said, there just aren't that many perimeter shooters on this team. You know, he was 0 for 11. Josh Richardson was 1 for 8. Ben Simmons doesn't shoot. So that's three of your five starting lineup where last night you didn't have to defend him. Matisse Thybulle was getting a sizable run. You don't have to defend him a lot on the perimeter. They need Tobias Harris to be a real threat in order to overcome some of these spacing concerns, and so far he hasn't been.
One other thing of note that Brett Brown had said prior to the game when it comes to Tobias, he would said, because he wants him to be a go-to guy late, he would rather hit an aggressive miss than for him to defer, which makes perfect sense. Having said that, I think about this all the time because I don't think the same applies to his... I don't think he's saying the same thing to Ben Simmons.
No, I would, you know, I think in part you would say that because I think Tobias is a more natural one-on-one scorer. I think that's more in his game. I think that more fits his skill set. You know, whereas Ben is always going to have that, you know, the elephant in the room where he can't shoot. You can credibly guard Ben Simmons with Aaron Baines.
Right.
And that's because of his deficiencies skill set wise, not just mentality wise. I would like to see Ben drive more. I'd like to see him get to the rim and get to the free throw line more, but he's always, you know, there's always going to be, especially late in games when other teams have their best defenders on the court, when you can game plan, you can take away somebody's strengths and capitalize on that. And Ben has or take away somebody's strengths and capitalize on their weaknesses. And Ben has a pretty big weakness. So I would like to see a better mindset from Ben too, but I think Tobias has more chance to create.
Derek Bodner, nice enough to join us this morning. Derek, in this all-important season where you have a wide-open Eastern Conference and fans have waited patiently for a season such as this where they can see them making the NBA Finals and then we'll play it out from there. Unfortunately, their two most important players, you have a lot of question marks about, you know, even after our offseason, which had full of promise, where both said they were going to do certain things. Just to continue with Ben then, you could make the case he's exactly the same as last year. You could also make the case, although we're only 10 games in, he's taken a step back because he's afraid of contact and going to the free throw line, you know, even in those high percentage shots right underneath the net. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're talking about an NBA championship curve, and those are not easy to come by. Simmons and Embiid are fantastic players, and they're the reason why the Sixers are legitimate contenders. They're the reason why they will win 50 games every year those two are healthy. But in order to sort of reach that NBA royalty, they're going to have to improve. And for Simmons, that is getting confidence in a jumper and then using that to open up his dribble drive game. And for Embiid, that's being in excellent shape and navigating double teams more effectively than he has been. And if you're disappointed in the progress those two have made in those regards so far this season, I totally get it. And, you know, I get the urge to be supportive of the players because they are great and because they are the reason you're relevant. But just like I said, you're talking about an NBA championship caliber team. You're setting that kind of an expectation. And you're going to have those two excel. And right now they have not made the jump that I think a lot of people have expected. It's early in the season. But initial signs are that they still have some of the same weaknesses, which maybe you saw in the second round of playoffs in previous years and you would be concerned about against the top competition this year as well.
Are you surprised how load management is already playing a factor so early in the season? I can see it being, once you get to the second half, for obvious reasons of preserving the body, the grind of the NBA playoffs. Are you surprised we're going through this 10 games in?
No, not at all. I mean, this was last year at this time with Embiid, he was leading the league in minutes. He led the league in minutes for like a month into the season. He was playing every night. He was playing too many minutes. And quite frankly, at the time I was saying he was playing too many minutes and he ended up, you know, having the tendonitis issues down the stretch. I think they're taking I think it's a smarter approach that they're taking this year. I don't have a problem with what they're doing. I understand he just had a 2-game suspension and missed another game before that, but I would be very cautious on these back-to-backs, especially when you have someone like Al Horford, you can stagger him with, and you can play Embiid one night and Horford the next night. And when you have a competition in Orlando that you should be able to handle even without Embiid, I think this is the right path to take.
Final question for you, Derek. As we're looking at this team, the potential they have, one constant that has been here from the start and realizing that Brett Brown has had, you know, a revolving door of rosters up until the last three seasons or so, the turnovers continue. And they were doing really well last night until the second half and until the latter stages of the fourth quarter. And just, you know, every other possession resulted in a turnover. Can you explain it?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot there. You know, I think by and large, Brett doesn't dissuade turnovers as much as other coaches do. You know, I think his goal is to get a good shot, and sometimes to do that, you have to sort of take chances. So I think part of that you can put on Brett, but I think part of it is also that they're running an offense around a post-up big man in a league that doesn't like to post up anymore. With a non-shooting point guard in a league that very much values shooting, and without any real knockdown shooters around them. So I think a lot of it is going to be construction. You know, when I look at this team based on built around Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, I never think they're going to be in like the top half of the league in terms of taking care of the basketball. That's just not how this team is built. I think what you would hope last year, they ended up, I think, somewhere around 24th in the league. You would hope they can get up to like 20th. I think they need to make improvements in that, in part because that'll help their offense, but in part because that'll help them get their defense set. You know, so I think it's a combination of things. I do think the way this team is constructed is always going to struggle in that regard. But I also go back to some of the, you know, I think you need to see growth from Ben Simmons. I think if he shoots, I think some of these turnover problems go away. I think if Joel Embiid gets better at reading double teams in the post, some of these turnover problems go the way. So I put a lot of it on the players too, in terms of making progress that we just haven't seen yet. And it's, you know, it's something I think you would hope to have seen more progress in. And another disappointing aspect of the season so far.
His name is Derek Bodner, covers the Philadelphia 76ers. For links to all his stories, all the latest news, I suggest you follow him on Twitter, at Derek Bodner NBA. Derek, thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Keith Jones, one thing that has had 76ers fans upset is the maturity of a one Joel Embiid. And as talented as he is, from now until the day he stops wearing the uniform, he is the 76ers' most important and their best player. However, he clearly has an issue with committing to conditioning. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's getting winded in games, and the team's making excuses for him, which is fine, whatever. But we know what we're seeing with our own two eyes. You ever play with somebody who, like, you see that the guy's immensely talented?
It's rare in today's game, but there was players back in the day that didn't condition themselves as well as others.
Right, but even ones like such as Embiid, where they're so talented.
Now, rarely is it a superstar talent that's got the world at his grasp.
What do you think it is with him, then? Is it simple
as... He may not be able to do it. He may physically not be able to get himself in the best top-notch physical condition.
That's wild.
What about guys who used to do snow angels at practice?
That would be me, yep.
Mm-hmm. He was in really good shape, Jonesy.
Thankfully, I wasn't being relied upon.
Have another Twinkie.
I'm uncoachable.
Yeah. Oh,
yep. I did enjoy.
But if he's a game day guy, though, got to give him that.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. I enjoyed my milk duds on the off days.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Jonesy wasn't
can't
a big
do it anymore. You could do it back then a little bit. Actually, a lot of the better. Hate to say it, but
the better players would.
There was a bigger emphasis put on what you did during the games.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you weren't in great shape, you could cheat a little bit, maybe get in a fight, get kicked out of the game if you didn't have your best. There was things you could do that the perception would never get out there that you were, you know, not putting 100% in.
Yeah, he hit it well, Jonesy, by molding the media to not rip him.
My good friend Al Morgani wrote some really nice articles in the Hockey News.
What the hell? Scott and Barrington's on WIP. Yo, Scott, what's up, man?
What's going on?
How you doing?
Good. A little Sixers talk. Another frustrating thing, of course, is, and I'll say it again, fundamental turnovers, man. Mm-hmm. I for the love of God, I don't understand the turnovers, man. And just another thing, when somebody shoots a three-point, especially when they're off, nobody's ever under the board for the Sixers to rebound.
Well, I mean, that kind of stuff you can get away with because the Sixers have been very dominant on the boards for the majority of this early season, last night being an exception. However, the turnover thing, this is something you're never going to win if you commit, on average, as many turnovers as they do. And when you pay with the type of pace that they do, where it's go, 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 go all the time, you know, these things are going to happen. But when it comes to crunch time, you know, they need to – this is where Brett Brown has to step in and give them specific plays to run so that way it doesn't allow improvisation, which has resulted in all these turnovers.
Right. As far as, like, a three-point shoot, I know he's been out of the league for a while, I know Joe Johnson was working out for other teams. I know Jamal Crawford's older, but would you maybe look at somebody maybe like one of those two guys?
No. There's a reason, and I say it because there's a reason they're unemployed. But you're going to have to be patient. They're going to have to make things work until the trade deadline, and then they'll see things. And you know Elton Brand's going to be active. They know what they're lacking. They're seeing the same things we are. They're just not going to tell you in public that they need to address it. Scott, I want to give you a spin on this wheel. Can you give me someone just like Bill Belichick?
Now, you're allowed to give a list who's already been said, or I just have to...
It can't. Well, obviously it can't be someone that's already been said, but someone you would never, ever root for, coach or a player.
Somebody stole my thunder earlier with Foles, but I'm going to say Jahlil Okafor. I just can't cheer for
Big
him.
Big Ja. Can't cheer for Ja. Huh? He's not doing too bad
right now.
He's
doing all right. I don't have a big problem with him.
What's the matter, Jonesy? Ja's a good boy. I like Ja. Ja's a good guy. Oh, yeah. That's what it was. It was thunder. I didn't know what that is.
You thought that was me?
I didn't. Let's give Scott a spit on the NovaCare reimplantation prize. Still have some awesome prizes to give away. I like Ja, but I can understand why you wouldn't root for him. He was a bust here. Number 7. Ooh, a copy of the great book of Philadelphia Sports List by Glenn Mack now and a one Big Daddy Graham. And the book is available now wherever books are sold, in store and online. Jim and Clementine's on WIP. How you doing, Jim? You know what, Jim? Hang on there. I apologize. We're running a little behind for a break. We're going to get you on the other side. WIP Sports Time, 916.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.